Normally on Sunday mornings I do series. And so we just got done with a series on salvation. Were you blessed? Some of you? Were you really blessed? Hallelujah. Are you glad you know all your salvation includes? Amen. And so then next week I'm going to be ministering around Christmas. And then the 24th is Christmas Eve. We got that special thing. So I have an unusual thing today for me, kind of a standalone sermon. And I was asking the Lord, and this is just something I remember when I became a pastor 24 years ago. And then, doing funerals, people would use this and going to other people's funerals. People would use this Psalms all the time for funerals, Psalms 23. And I got to looking at it, and I'm like, that's not a death script. That has nothing to do with dying. That's a living scripture. So I want to give you a living scripture today. I want to give you something alive, and I know you're very familiar with it. I mean, you've probably got a picture with Jesus with a lamb around his neck and then this written down, right? So, but aren't you glad Jesus doesn't break any lamb's legs? Amen. Have you ever seen that before? I've heard people say, well, he breaks their legs. No, he's not breaking anybody's legs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you excited today? I want to try to stir you up a little bit, because I know it's cold outside in Alabama, but where I'm from, this is summer still. So even though now, these days, I need my wool stuff for this stuff, because it's been so long. My blood has adapted. But I want you to look at Psalms 23. Are you ready for it? I know it's familiar, but let's look at Psalms 23. We'll start in the King James. It says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is he your shepherd? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through, everybody say I'm going through, say through. Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I get an amen? Amen. But then we need to do this out of the Amplified classic version. Let's look at verse 1 in the Amplified. The Lord is my shepherd. Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd. What does the shepherd do? To feed, guide, and shield me. He feeds, he guides, and he shields me. I shall not lack. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. Verse 3. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteous, upright, and right standing with him. Not for my earning it. Are you glad you didn't have to earn any of this? Are you glad you didn't have to earn any of this? It's a free gift, right? For his name's sake. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through. Come on, there it is again. Let's keep on walking. Everybody say, I'm walking through. The deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, because you're with me. Your rod to protect, your staff to guide, they comfort me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my brimming cup runs over. Verse 6, surely, or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're going to take this and look at it. I want to teach you out of this. First of all, I want you to see, number one, the Lord is your shepherd. How many know he's Jehovah Ra? He is the Lord your shepherd. And so if he's a shepherd, he compares you to sheep. Now, I don't want anybody to get offended, all right? But you are a sheep. Can I get a bow? That's good. But we're all sheep, right? Now, I grew up on a farm in Illinois. Now, my dad and mom, we had this little small farm. But my papa was a pig farmer, and he had cows and stuff and chickens. So I always grew up around that stinky stuff. And so I am not vegan. I am a meat eater. Teeth were given to me to chew on some steak, all right? And so the truth of the matter is, though, I grew up that. But we didn't have any sheep. But in doing some study on some sheep, they're kind of one of the stupidest animals there is. Now, I told you not to get offended. But this is what I know about sheep. Of all the animals, they must have a shepherd. They must have a shepherd. They need someone to protect them. They need someone to guide them to the places they need to eat. They don't drink out of running water. They only drink out of still water. So they've got to go to places, specific places. And that's what he's saying to us. The Lord is my shepherd. I mean, you got to understand, but in order for him to really be a good shepherd, you've got to be a good sheep. You got to understand, I need him. Do you need him? You need him. You can't do this without him. I said, you can't do this without him. The Lord is my shepherd. That's as a sheep. I got to say in between my baths, I got to say, I need you. I can't do this, won't do this, don't have a clue how to do this on my own. You are my shepherd. And so what does a shepherd do? Well, the Amplified said, and let's look at Psalms 23:1 in the Amplified, it breaks it out that he guides and he protects. Psalms 20, there you go. He feeds, he guides, and he shields me. So he's feeding me, he's guiding me, and he shields me. And Jesus said this about himself in John chapter 10. Let's look at the guidance part a little bit. John chapter 10, let's look at John 10 verses 3 through 5. Because Jesus is talking about himself as the shepherd. Are you grateful that he's your shepherd? It's so awesome to me that he wants to take good care of me, and he wants to guide me, and he wants to protect me, and he wants to make sure I'm taken care of. Verse number 3 says, to him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. Are you grateful God knows your name? Isn't that he knows my name. I'm just not a number sheep to him. I'm a name. He knows me. And he leads them out. And he puts forth his own sheep. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, for they'll flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. One of the things about guidance is that you know him, he knows your name, but you also know him. When did you become a sheep? The moment you were born again, you entered into sheepdom. Not just Christendom, you became a sheep. And you didn't know the benefits of becoming a sheep until you study the word. But the word tells you that because you are his sheep, you know his voice. Romans 8, 14 says, because we're sons of God, we're led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says in 1 John that you have a perception or a perceiver on the inside of you, that you have a witness that you belong to him. And that same witness that you, do y'all know you're born again? How do you know you're born again? Well, you just know. Where do you know at? You know in here. You don't know up here. Some days you don't feel born again up here. But you always know in here. And that's the same place the shepherd guides you. He's your shepherd. And he knows your name. And you know his voice. Not only does he know your name, you need to boldly say, I know the voice of my shepherd. The Bible says a stranger's voice you will not follow. And that's when you've got stuff going on around. Well, that's what Pastor Ron and I, a lot of times we talk about things that are going on. We'll say, that seems strange. What do we mean by that? Well, that doesn't sound like our shepherd. That doesn't sound like truth. Just in life, you know, when you encounter something, you'll have the voice of the good shepherd making it on the inside of you. You'll know some things. What else do we know there? Just Jesus proclaiming this about himself. Verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. Oh, come on, somebody say he's a good shepherd. So if he's a good shepherd, then the sheep look like they got a good shepherd. I mean, you know, if a herd of sheep went by, a flock, they're not herds, they're flocks. If a flock of sheep went by and their wool was all matted and dirty and they were skinny and they were limping around, you would say, ooh, I wonder who's shepherding those folks. That's not a good shepherd. How many of you know when they're fat, fluffy, hallelujah, all is well, everything's working, you say, oh, the shepherd's taking good care of them. How many of you know God takes good care of his sheep? He's a good shepherd. Come on, he's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. How many of you know that tells me that he's not putting anything on you? He's taking everything off of you. Amen? How many of you know his yoke is easy, his burden is light? Glory to God. I mean, he's good. He's good. He declared about himself, I am the good shepherd. Amen. I got to keep going. Verse 14, again, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. So what do we know about the shepherd? Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep always hear his voice. He knows your name and he knows how to lead you out. We follow him because we know his voice. And then when it comes to guidance, I want you to look at John 10:9. It says, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Are you glad you're saved? And shall go in and out and find pasture. Remember there in Psalms 23, it says that he makes us to lie down in green pastures. It says he leads us beside still waters. So I want you to think spiritual food first and foremost. I want you to understand that sometimes you need a word in due season. What is that? How many of you know this is all the Bible is all the word of God, but sometimes, remember, you need a word, you need a seasonal word. How many of you know he's made us, even as people he talks about, we have a word in due season that refreshes the weary. Where do we get that word from? We get it from the Good Shepherd. In other words, there's green grass, there's pasture that is good for the sheep to eat. And the Bible says, he makes me, what? Sometimes you don't know what you need. How many of you know we always all think we got it all together? I got this figured out. You haven't got nothing figured out. How many of you know sometimes you don't know what's coming? John 16:13 says he'll show you things to come. And so you don't really know sometimes what's in your future, but he'll prepare you with the right food. Come on, have you ever had a season in your life, maybe you was flipping through Christian, TV, or maybe you was listening to some tapes, or you got something, or somebody hands you a book or a magazine or an article, and it's all on the same. I mean, Joyce said it. T.D. said it. Kenneth and whoever else you like. Pastor Mark said it. And like all, you should get a clue. That's the green grass you need to be eating right now. You get things over. I mean, there's even billboards that tell you sometimes what to do. Maybe even the National Enquirer while you're in the long line. No. Okay. But my point is, everything points to something. And that's God trying to get you. And so he'll get you in the word on something. That's the green grass. And the Bible says he makes you to lie down there. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get you the right food for what's coming. And he leads you beside still waters. And I already said, the reason the sheep, that's what a sheep needs. It needs a specific kind of water to drink out of, from what I understand. I've never raised sheep. I don't know that, except for what I've read. I do know this. I do know that the Lord is my shepherd, and he is good. Psalms 37:23 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. This is what I know about my shepherd. If I'll follow him, he'll take my steps into the right place. I'm always going to be at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. If not on my own, if I'm following my good shepherd. Because on my own, I can really mess it up. I don't know about you. Well, okay, I know about you. You could really mess it up. Because see, we're sheep. We can't be wandering off in the woods because there's wolves out there. There's predators. There's a roaring lion who is seeking whom he may devour. And you can boldly say, well, he's not going to devour me. But if you're not following the good shepherd, you are a snack. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm this kind of person naturally, especially because I'm not very adventurous. My wife she wants to jump out of planes and stuff like that. Why would you jump out of a perfectly good plane? I mean, I'm not that kind of person. And even spiritually, I like to be in the middle of the flock. I'm not the edgy kind. Those are the kind that get picked off first. Stay in the middle of the flock. Now, as a leader, I get out in front of you. But my point is this, that, we have to understand that when we follow the good shepherd, our steps are ordered. And he's going to order us to the green pastures, the still waters, spiritually take care of us. Have you ready for anything and everything that's coming? He's been good to me that way. Even some big things sometimes, they didn't catch me off guard. Now, I wish in some ways he would have just gotten rid of them. But he's so good. And he'll lead you around the right people, the right time. I mean, remember we talk about this? He talked about he's the door. And even in your life, the Bible says that when God shuts a door, nobody's going to open it. And then when he opens the door, nobody can shut it. He is the door. He's the shepherd, opening doors and closing doors for you. And so you and I have to follow him. Everybody say, I'm following the good shepherd. Why? Because you're a sheep and you need a shepherd. You're a sheep and you need a shepherd. And I would say even in the natural, and you also need an under-shepherd. It was never meant for people just to be off on their own. And, you know, naturally sheep don't have 30 shepherds. Because you look at, Google some things about it. It's cool sometimes how even in Israel, they used to all come together. All the shepherds and the sheep were eating in the same places. But when it was time to go, they would just begin to yell out and talk. And then somehow, some way, all the sheep divide and go with their shepherd. It's pretty cool. Wish it happened that way. Hallelujah. Meaning we all should be able to eat together. We should all be able to get along as believers. Amen. Hallelujah. Let there be peace on earth. Hallelujah. All right. Then I want to look at this. I like this how the Amplified in the 23rd Psalm, it talks about the rod and the staff. You can do some study on the rod and the staff. Some people believe that's one instrument. Some people believe they're two. I don't really care one way or the other. All I know is this. The rod part protects. I mean, you know, sometimes the shepherd has to get rid of some enemies. How many know that Jesus already destroyed the devil? Did he? Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of him openly, triumphing over him in it. What is it? His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And then you get a picture of Jesus through King David. Do you love King David? One of the things that God loved about King David was he said, he's a man after my own heart. Where did that come from? Because he played the harp real good? I think it came from his shepherding days. How many of you know? I think his daddy was very wealthy. I think they, you know, all the brothers and everything, and they were a well-respected family because when it came time to anoint a king, they came to them. So this is not just a run-of-the-mill family. This is a good family. And David had the least attractive job. He was a shepherd of the sheep. And how many of you know that it would have been nothing for him to let the lion and the bear pick off a few little lambs for lunch? It happens. But there was something in David that he was like God. And remember what he did to the lion and the bear. Because remember he told King Saul, when that lion and bear came, your servant, I slew the lion. I mean, he had a bear rug at his house. What is that? A shepherd protecting. The rod protects. Are you grateful in life that Jesus, your shepherd, protects you? Protects you from what? Your adversary. You have an enemy. And until you go home to be in heaven, you'll always have an enemy. But that enemy will always be defeated. And as long as you submit yourself unto the good shepherd, submit yourself unto God, James 4:7. Resist the devil, and he's going to do what? Flee, run from you as in terror. Submit yourself to the good shepherd. Who's watching out for you? The good shepherd. What did he do? He already destroyed the devil. His rod and then his staff. The staff was to lead you and guide you. These were instruments that the shepherd had, one to protect, one to guide. So God is always protecting, and God is always guiding. You got to listen to the good shepherd. When he says, stop, what are you going to do? When he says, go to the right, what are you going to do? When he says, study this, what are you going to do? I want to study it. Amen? All right? So one of the things the shepherd does is he guides us and he watches after us. And then what I like about while he's guiding us is I love that last verse. I love them all. It says this, surely, as a matter of fact, this is always the truth. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Listen, it doesn't say while I'm a parked car, there's goodness and mercy. It says it's going to follow me. In other words, that means as he's guiding me, the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, is out front in my life. When I follow him as a sheep, then what's at my rear guard? Goodness and mercy. I don't know if those are angels or I don't know what they are, but there's something in my rear guard that's following me. Everywhere I go, you can find goodness and mercy right behind me. Anybody going to run into me, you're going to run into the goodness and the mercy of God on my life. Anybody going to come after me, you're going to find the goodness and mercy on my side. I don't know what you're going to get on your side. I might look on you and see the recompense of the wicked. But it's not going to come near me. Amen. Why? Because I've got a good shepherd. I'm born again. Goodness and mercy. You run into me, you're going to run into the goodness and mercy on my life. I mean, is that true of you? Is that true of you? Come on, say it. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Amen. I got the good shepherd leading me, and I got goodness and mercy behind me. I'm good to go as long as I follow his steps. Amen. Amen. And one of the things you don't want to do, you don't want to mess with somebody who Jesus is truly their good shepherd. They're the apple of his eye. They're like, he's greater than David. Come on, David whooped the lion and the bear. And the Lord's taking care of everything that's going to try to hurt you. Amen. Are you grateful? It's good to serve the good shepherd. Are you grateful for the good shepherd? Hallelujah. Well, let's look at this. Let's go back to Psalms 23:1. King James. Psalms 23:1, King James. The Lord is my shepherd. What's that next thing? Did he mean it? Occasionally I have to want. Come on, you can't never want. I shall not want. What does that mean? I believe it means what it says. I believe as a good, because if you got to keep it in context, as the good shepherd, he takes care of his. They always got grass. They always got water. They always got everything a sheep needs to be happy and go, bah. They're not afraid, because you look at the rest of the psalm, what he means there is I got you. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But the condition is, the Lord is my shepherd. There's a difference in you being born again and going to heaven one day than the Lord being your shepherd right now. Is the Lord your shepherd? Have you submitted to him? Are you a sheep? Don't be no goat. The Bible talks about, I don't have time to get into it, the Bible talks about sheep, goats, and wolves. How can you tell if you're a goat? You butt all the time. The Lord shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. But you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. But we're going to build a new building. But. You always got a but. That's what goats do. They butt. And you know, a lot of times the Lord will let the sheep and the goats graze together. But you can tell who's a sheep and who's a goat because of who surrendered. Because a sheep has a shepherd. A goat has a herder. They're different. They're different. He's a good shepherd. But you got to be a good sheep. We're not going to practice batting again. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What do I do? Well, again, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me the still waters. But now I want you to take it not only spiritual, because there's always a spiritual side, but then there's always how it reflects into the natural. The Lord wants to take care of you. That's what a shepherd does. He supplies all your needs. He does. Pastor Robert was talking about how if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to us. Sheep don't have to seek green pastures. Sheep are not the ones seeking the water. The shepherd finds it for them. I'm not seeking houses and cars and clothes and food. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, I'm going to add all that. Why is he going to add all that to you? Because he's the shepherd. He's the shepherd. He's the shepherd. Are you the sheep? The more I hear about it, the more sheepy I want to be. Is that a word? I don't know. I want to be sheepy. Back to Psalms 23. I guess we'd never left. It says, he leads me, verse 3, in paths of righteousness. He leads me in paths. Where does the direction of the Lord take you? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Put that up in the Amplified. I like the Amplified bringing out, he leads me in paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it. I'm not talking about you sheepy people earning anything. It's by grace, through faith. It's a free gift. For his name's sake. It reminds me of Isaiah, where the Lord blotted out our sins for his sake. So he wants to do all this for his name's sake. And the Bible says that he leads you in paths of those paths of righteousness. Psalms 37:25. I love this. I've been young, and still am, and now I'm old, not quite. Yet I have not, but this part is really good. Yet I have not seen the righteous. Are you righteous? I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. How many of you know the good shepherd makes sure you're not going to be begging for bread? If you and I, because you say, well, I thought it was spiritual. It's spiritual, but everything spiritual then ends up natural. And God wants you to be, why are you blessed? To be a blessing. Why do you have an overflow? To be a blessing to others. One of the great things about you all is you are a blessing to other people. And we're going to keep being a blessing to other people. And as we continue to grow and do things, we're going to be a blessing to more people. We're called to be a city set on a hill. Where we can bless people and bless people. But you got to have something in order to bless somebody. But where'd you get yours from? Well, I work hard. No, you got it from the good shepherd. Yes, you got to work, but you get it from the good shepherd. He's the one that gave you the brain to do it, and the hands to do it, the ability to do it. Everything good comes from him. Now, come on, he's your good shepherd, right? And because you're righteous, you'll never be forsaken, and none of your kids will be forsaken, and you'll never be begging for bread. Hallelujah. He'll always take care of you. And then let's get to this one. Because a lot of people just pull this one out. But this is in the middle. This is verse 4. Yea, though I walk. Everybody say, I'm walking. Where are you walking? Through. He didn't say camp. He didn't say sing about. He said walk through it. Now, you know, unfortunately, sometimes in our circle, we like to hear only the good stuff. How many know we always triumph? We're more than conquerors, overcomers. But this is just as much part of the Bible as that. And sometimes in order to get there, you got to walk through something. But don't camp. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the what? Who? See, death is not just a thing, it's a person. Meaning this. Satan, remember what Jesus destroyed, death, hell, the grave. Jesus destroyed death. Death was represented in a person named Satan. And so it reminds me when I think of this, I think about when things are in a shadow and, you know, like you've got the source causing the shadow, but sometimes you can make it look really scary and really weird, and he like kind of messes with you. What was that? It's the shadow of something, and it's big and it's ominous. And then you go to the source of it and you go, whoa, that was a little bunny rabbit. I mean, what was that? That was a cute little thing. And yet it looked ominous and scary, big old fangs or what. I mean, you know, and so that's what that reminds me of. And when I was thinking about that, the Lord just really kind of brought that to my thing because the devil, he's a defeated foe, but he tries to be this big, scary thing. And when you're walking through something, he wants you and needs you, the devil needs you to be afraid. He works hard at getting you in fear. And really, we're going to look at him one day. Isaiah chapter 14, it says, we're going to look at it, remember, at the very end? And so I'm not going to wait till the very end. I'm going to do it right now. Is that the one? Is that the one? Because see, that one who is a defeated foe is trying to be all big and scary and blustery. Yet he's a defeated foe. You got to deal with him. You got to take authority over him. You got to rule and reign over him. But he tries to make you afraid. And his shadow is bigger and scarier than he really is. And that's why we've got a rod and a staff. Because Jesus is saying, don't pay no attention to that. That's nothing. Just keep on walking. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. Keep on going. Keep following the shepherd. You know his voice. He'll lead you out of danger. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. Amen. That's what following his direction does for us. It gets us out of our mess. Psalms 91. We looked at this last week as we were looking at salvation, as the Lord being our fortress. Psalms 91. We'll look at verses 1, 2, and 3. I said first service, Pastor Rhonda wrote this, but because I have since we got married, Psalms 91 is her thing. She used this in India to stay alive. She taught it to my daughter, but this just reminds me of this, because as I was thinking about that shadow, then the Lord says, but I have a shadow. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Two different shadows here. We got one shadow trying to imitate and scare you, but we got another shadow that we can hide under. We got another shadow. It's a secret place. Remember we talked about he's a pavilion. He's a fortress. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. I got to release my faith through my words. He is my refuge. And my fortress. He's a refuge for me, a pavilion. I am protected. But to anybody trying to get at me, he's a fortress. You try to mess with me, you're messing with a fortress. Am I messing with you? Are you born again? You got a shepherd? You got a shepherd? You got a shepherd? Come on. He's a fortress. He's a fortress. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. The Lord, he's a good shepherd. He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Verse 3, surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Anytime that shadow of the devil is trying to trap me, he'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. I mean, we could go on and on about this, but you're delivered from that shadow and you're just going to keep on walking through the valley. Come on, you're going to keep on walking. I'm not going to pay attention to that shadow because I'm in the shadow of the Almighty. I'm in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You deliver me from the noise. That's really all it is sometimes. It's just a bunch of noise. Just a bunch of noise. Amen. But listen, don't you be thinking Jesus is some wimpy. He's serious about protecting you. He's serious about watching over you. And he's serious about dealing with those who mess with you. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And he loves you. Don't be worried about what's hanging out in the shadows, because it's defeated. But just get in the shadow of the Almighty. Get under his wing. Let him protect you. Amen. Well, I got to hurry up. Hallelujah. But that's nothing unusual for me. He's leading you where? Well, I can't skip it. Because let's go back to Psalms 23. Where is he leading you? Where is he guiding you? Verse 5. Thou preparest. You prepare a table before me in the presence. Can't skip that. In the presence of my enemies. How many of you know there's no enemies in heaven? Is there any enemies in heaven? Where's the enemies? Down here. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, Satan's the God of this world. He's been defeated, but he tries to be the Lord of this world. He's not my God. Is he your God? But this is what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to come set right in the midst of when the lion's roaring, right in the midst of when the shadow looks scary, right in the midst of all that stuff, he'd like to feed you. He'd like to take care of you. And so what's he wanting you to do? He wants you to come sit down. He wants you to be able to sit. What is that? That sitting position is a resting position. This is what I know. First Ephesians chapter 1 talks about Jesus. It says this, that he was raised from the dead and he is seated. There's something about a seat in God. There's something about seating. There's something about sitting down and resting. He said he's seated, Jesus is seated in heavenly places. What? Far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. And every name that's been given a name. Jesus is seated above it. And that'd be wonderful, but he didn't just stop there. Ephesians 2:6 says, and you were raised together with him to sit in heavenly places. God needs you to sit down in your seat. Oh, and I had this in my notes and I didn't get into it first service, but I'm just telling you, there's an assigned seat for you. It's kind of like a big family. Everybody's got assigned seats. Daddy sits here, mama sits here, everybody's got an assigned seat. And in the body of Christ, you have an assigned seat. And when you find your assigned seat and you sit where you're supposed to sit, then everything begins to work out for you. Everything begins to work out for you. And you're sitting at that table and you say, pass me the mashed potatoes. Pass me the turkey. I like meat. Pass me the steak. Pass me them rolls right over there. And you don't have to get up. You don't have to do nothing. You just sit down, and right all around you, the devil's yelling and screaming and telling you to get up. Get up. I'm going to tear you up. I'm going to tear your life up. And you're going to sit there. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to sit here. And I got a shepherd watching over me, taking care of me. And I'm just going to sit. I'm going to sit and I'm going to take of everything that the Lord has given me. I'm just going to sit down because I can't fix it anyway. I'm a sheep. I'm no match. But I got a shepherd who's already destroyed the works of the devil. He's taking care of me. But you see, what the enemy wants you to do is get up. He wants you to fight it in the natural. He wants you to get up from your seat. It reminds me of when they had to put the serpent on the pole. Remember what they had to do? Only a steadfast gaze. I mean, the serpents are biting him. People are dying on the left. People are dying on the right. And the only way you could live, the Bible says, was to have a steadfast gaze at the serpent on the pole. And so what you had to do is if you got people you love, you had to say, I can't take my attention off of this. You're going to have to come and you're going to have to look with me. I'm not getting up. I'm not changing my gaze. And it's the same thing about seated. You're not going to get me up from my seat. The devil wants you to get up and try to do this in yourself. But see, if you could fix it, you'd already have it fixed by now. You need to sit down and rest in him in the very presence of your enemies. There is a table that is spread before you. Come on, can I get somebody to say, the Lord is my shepherd? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are some things that we've got to do, and I'll just go over these real quick. First thing you've got to do, the Bible says, he restores my soul. In this journey as the Lord is your shepherd, you've got to do something with your emotions. You've got to do something with your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. You've got to get it restored. When you got born again, your mind didn't get fixed. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it talks about the transformation of your mind. The psalmist said that he said, we've got to get our soul restored. Sometimes you need to, things that have, how many know stuff's happened to all of us? Don't let what happened, listen to what I find in people. If they don't get what's going on in their soul fixed, they end up hurting people around them. Not just for your sake, but for everybody's sake, get your soul fixed. Get your emotions healed. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, get your stuff fixed because you don't want to pass that down to your children. Come on, get it fixed. Let the Lord heal it. Let the Lord fix it. He restores my soul. And so we got to make sure that our soul is being restored. And then it talks about this. It says in verse 4, it says, I will fear no evil. One of the things, I don't know about you, but especially me, because the way I grew up, I really had a lot to do. I've told you my testimony when I was a freshman in high school. Just the fear that I dealt with every day of my life. And it's still, I'll just be plain with you, how it tries to get on me. This is one area I have to fight. Because the devil will lie to you and he'll paint pictures. And so you can't, and the whole thing about terrorism is fear. It's fear-based. But the Bible says, I will fear no evil. Evil, anything the devil sends my way, I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because I got a shepherd. You see, as a sheep, if I know I got a shepherd, he's already taken care of the evil. If I submit myself, therefore, unto God, then I can resist that evil. I know I can receive grace and resist whatever the devil's trying to do. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And so you and I have to, as we're going on this journey, we make sure that evil, that we're not afraid. Everybody say, I'm not afraid. And she's not here to defend herself, but I remember when my daughter was little, you know, we were dealing with these things, we were trying to teach her. You know, we would say, say after us, I am not afraid. And she would say it, and then she'd turn around and say, but I am afraid. I was praying the other day, and I think I said the same thing to the Lord. You might as well be honest, but you can work on this. Fear, the devil needs fear like God needs faith. Listen, the devil needs fear like God needs faith. I will fear no evil. Say it again, I will fear no evil. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you condemn it. Hallelujah. What do you got to do? The Bible says he anoints my head with oil. What does that mean? Well, on this journey, I got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. I got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Because the journey sometimes can drain you. And how many know that Jesus is still the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire? And so I got to stay full. The Bible says in Ephesians to be being filled. Not with wine where it's excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's a constant filling. How do I keep full? The Word. How do I keep full? His presence. During worship, during prayer time, at home, I got to stay full. He anoints my head with oil, but we got to get it so much that our cup runs over. How many know God does exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think? But listen to me. Why has your cup got to run over? Well, sometimes some people around you need some oil. Amen. Amen. You'd be a splash over blessing, all right? On your journey, you got to stay full. Where's my end? Where's my end? Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of life, and I will dwell. What's the shepherd tried to lead me towards? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm not going to wait till I get to heaven. I'm going to dwell right now. Dwell in his presence. Dwell in his word. Dwell in his power. Amen. Father, I thank you for everybody in this room. I thank you for your goodness. Jesus, we boldly have proclaimed you are our good shepherd. I want you all just to do this. Everybody with your head bowed, your eyes closed, and just lift one hand to heaven, and we'll just all do this together. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I receive him as my Savior. I make him the Lord of my life. Jesus, you are my good shepherd. I'm your sheep. You're my shepherd. I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you have never been born again, or you've been away from God, or you'd like to be filled with the Spirit, we have a prayer room in the very back. I've got some materials for you. I've got some people that will pray for you. If you're away from God, you need to be born again. If you'll just go back there, they'll pray with you. They'll make sure that you get your questions answered, and they'll help you. Amen. Y'all stand.